In the TED Talks video on food safety education for workers, we discussed the importance of cultural inclusivity and accessibility. This week, we expand on the aspect of workforce accessibility and provide some practical applications that you can implement today. I am your TAG Talks host, Lisa Lupo, and today I'm talking with TAG Food Safety Associate Lily Yang on creating a culture of inclusivity and accessibility. Good afternoon, Lily.
Good afternoon, Lisa. Good afternoon, everyone.
So let's start by ensuring that we're all on the same page here. Can you tell us exactly what is meant by accessibility in the workplace?
Definitely. And that's actually a really important question to frame our discussion. So accessibility as a term has a number of meanings, particularly in the food industry, one of which is that of accessibility of food itself and increasing access to food safe products or safe food products, right? So while we will not be going into that today, I do recommend that y'all keep an eye on TAG Talks for a future discussion. So in this case today in accessibility, we are discussing accessibility in relation to the understanding and application of all aspects of the food industry by those who work in it. So that is designing and developing tools, technologies, and other aspects so that people with or without disabilities can perceive, understand, navigate, and interact within that space and with all aspects of it.
Why is this so important in the workplace?
So accessibility acknowledges that we all come from different spaces and different backgrounds and seeks to basically level the playing field, for lack of a better terminology. Basically, accessibility provides equal access to everyone, especially those who may have disabilities, to ensure that we can move towards a space where everyone can have a seat at the table. It's also important to note that when discussing disabilities, not all disabilities are visible. Just because it's not able to be perceived by you or me does not mean it does not exist. And finally, not only does accessibility create inclusivity and provide equal access to people, it also promotes usability. Is the right thing to do, and in many instances, is part of the laws that we already have federally mandated. So ultimately, we are, quote, meeting people where they are.
Okay. So, you know, this sounds like it's definitely something important to include, but what are some ways to do this? What are some ways that food facilities, food and beverage facilities can help increase accessibility in their facilities?
So there's a super long list and we can always delve more into it, but there's a few options I definitely wanted to bring up. And I know that, you know, some of this discussion we may also be having with, I think, FSMA Friday. So y'all should tune in. But to that, some things that, you know, that come straight to mind for increased accessibility, we've also discussed in the previous TAG talk. And one of them is utilizing pictograms and iconography or culturally relevant pictures. So this can be utilized in different ways. Like we previously discussed, you can utilize it to label allergenic materials, but you can also utilize it for encouraging and also promoting GMP-free practices like hand washing or, you know, hygienic design zones. And you can also utilize it for aspects like one-point lessons. So basically to allow people who are interfacing to easily grasp and understand a concept. And what better way to do that than pictures? Additionally, one thing to also acknowledge I want to make sure we take away with is acknowledging and adjusting and accommodating for those with visual impairment, either color vision deficient individuals or those who may not just be able to see as well. So, you know, we've discussed previously using colors when in a lot of facilities we utilize colors to better, you know, distinguish what tools to be using what. But it's important for you all to be aware that there may be individuals in your organization that may not perceive colors in the same ways that you might. And so how should we accommodate for that? Additionally, we can also make sure to have letters and postings that are in larger letters. Oftentimes you walk into a facility and they might just have a Lotus that just size 10 font, super tiny. But the thing is, not all of us can, and myself included, can actually see those tiny texts. I actually need to actually wear reading glasses. So, you know, that is also very useful to have larger lettering so that everyone can kind of see better. And on top of that, this is also useful for presentations as well as for trainings, but using closed captions or some type of transcription service as part of your slide deck, or even in any visual aspects that you may show. So if you are showing a picture, even having alternative text describing what that image is, super helpful. Additionally, we discussed increasing accessibility in training, and we should check out our previous TAG talks, which is linked above. But on top of that, we can also increase accessibility by utilizing specific types of broadcasting devices. And by this, I mean, for example, if you are outside in a larger, if you're in the agricultural realm or you're in a large warehouse in which there's just a large volume of space, not only using a speakerphone or a microphone, but also situating various speakers around the space so that all who are within that space can hear what's happening as opposed to being just projected from the front, because that's difficult. And on top of that, especially in very loud and noisy manufacturing settings, you know, oftentimes we are required to wear earplugs, right? But on top of that, especially even with the earplugs, it makes it difficult to hear. And it is useful in increasing accessibility by providing individual headsets and radios that are pinged to an individual. And so by that, while that may be a cost prohibitive or maybe more increasing of cost for the company, it does support, you know, not only are you protecting people's hearing, but you're also ensuring that people who need to know what is supposed to be happening can hear what is happening, and that is pinged directly towards them, as opposed to some loudspeaker up there that you may not even be able to hear. And finally, as part of, you know, the accessibility aspect, one last point to point on is it's important to understand others with lived experiences and consideration. And there's two aspects for this. On one hand, if you are working with a group of veterans or those who may have undergone traumas, spacing is really important. For example, you know, some individuals, depending on their previous lived experiences, may not be comfortable being in a four-room, fully enclosed, small space. So it is very much encouraged to, you know, hold meetings and trainings in larger spaces, or even allowing said individuals, or any individuals really, because we're not here to discriminate, any individuals to be able to stand, to sit, to be able to walk if they need a pace, and showing and giving that space. Additionally, it's important to also consider the diversity in learning and languages within your facility and adapting your materials accordingly, which we've talked about previously as well. But definitely these four things are things to consider, you know, utilizing pictograms and iconography, adjusting and making adjustments for visual impairment, increasing accessibility in training, using broadcasting devices, and understanding others' lived experiences and taking that into consideration.
That's great, Lily. Really, really appreciate your insights on all of this. But so given all the things that you've said, what would be your one takeaway that you would want our audience to remember from this?
I think the thing that would be the biggest thing is things that are visible. And things that are visible, things that can be heard, those kind of very sensorial things need to be addressed. You don't want it to be too crazy, but you want it to be apparent so that everyone can be in the same space and understand things accordingly.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's just wonderful. Thank you very much, Lily. We really hope that this session of TAG Talks has provided our audience with some practical insights on accessibility and how to apply them in your facility. And for related topics, be sure to view Lily's talk on food safety education for workers, as she referred to quite a few times in this one, and also her FSMA Friday for March. Correct, Lily? It's the
April 2022.
Skip that back. So it's in the April FSMA Friday. So be sure, and if you're viewing this after April of 2022, it is recorded, and you can click to it to view that as well. So feel free at any time as well to call on Lily or any TAG expert for questions or assistance. And as always, be sure to click to subscribe to stay up to date on all things food safety and public health from TAG experts. Thanks again, Lily.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.